as I began to model myself, my references were expanded. Like as I began to learn more, one of the things that I've placed a lot of emphasis on, I started with world leaders and spiritual leaders, and then I went to the billionaire mindset. And I figured, okay, well, here's some things that we could model to produce results in our life, whether it be on a global scale, a spiritual scale, in terms of financial scale. So as I began to look at those things, my references got expanded in terms of what was available to me in everything from healing patterns and modeling the healing patterns of a Jesus of Nazareth to financial strategies and modeling the financial strategies of a Richard Branson from Virgin Airlines or Rupert Murdoch. When you begin to look at those things, it's like, wow, there are some concepts that just weren't available in your world. The concepts that are available to you will be based upon who you've modeled all your life and who you chose as role models. So when you expand your role models and you begin to look in new directions and really soak that stuff in, your references expand, and therefore what's even available to you to appear in your world will expand as well. Some of the most powerful learnings that I've gotten from this material. The next thing are metaprograms. Metaprograms are unconscious filters to perception. They're unconscious content-free filters to perception. Like, does the person see the glass as half full, or did they see it as half empty? Now, there's no content to that. Unlike a value or a belief where there's specific content to it, a metaprogram is just either black or white, off or on. Does the person tend to sort this way or that way? Another example would be, does a person look for differences in a job or a relationship, or do they look for similarities? What do they sort for? The person who looks for differences will tend to have less of a job longevity than the person that looks for sameness and looks for things to be the same. Same thing inside relationships. Do they look for differences in the relationship or for similarities? So understanding somebody's metaprograms, and what we're going to share with you in this training is we'll share with you an 8-minute metaprogram elicitation that will that within an 8-minute conversation with somebody, you'll be able to elicit what are their preferences, or which way do they sort in 16 different areas. That makes you a master hiring consultant. What that also does is allows you to tailor your communications inside their preferences. Metaprograms are extremely important. I use metaprograms in modeling as well. Whenever I'm modeling, I'm looking for what is this individual's filter patterns, and how can those be replicated or utilized to either produce stellar results or lackluster results. The next filter that determines what we sort for and what we delete, distort, and generalize are our values and our beliefs. Our values and our beliefs are formed throughout the significant emotional events in our life. We have, and we'll go into in quite a lot of depth, we'll go into the formation of values and beliefs, the formation of your personality. You go through various stages of the formation of your personality. The work that we base this on is based on the work of a couple of different people. Sociologist Dr. Morris Massey, who wrote the book The People Puzzle, talks about the stages of the development of your values as you're growing up. And we'll also be taking a look at Claire Graves' work on values. So your values, if somebody values family more than anything in the world, they're going to have a different life experience than the person who values travel more than anything in the world. Or that values making a difference more than anything in the world. So the question is, now, by the way, it's not a dichotomy. You don't have to choose one or the other. It's you can have a lot of those values up there. In fact, you do. You have several values. So this isn't one choice versus another. You have the opportunity to value all these things. And how your values and your beliefs mix together is what determines what the painting of your life becomes. It's kind of like painting the watercolors together. It determines what your watercolor portrait or your oil portrait is going to look like. That's the portrait of your life. But all of those things are going to determine what you sort for and therefore what you experience in your world. And then finally, we've got attitudes. Attitudes tend to be a collection of values and beliefs around a given subject. And will be the easiest way to change an attitude would be to chunk down on it a little bit and actually go inside and change the beliefs and values. We'll be taking a look at all those. But these are the things that determine what you delete and distort and generalize. So out of that 2 million bits of information that come in, we make that into an internal representation. So it passes through those filters. We make an internal representation of that external event. The internal representation is our map of reality or your map of reality. It's not real. Couldn't be reality. Could never be. In NLP, we say that the map is not the territory. That means your understanding of reality or your thoughts about reality could never be reality itself. And even if you were to build the best map of California and you built it to full scale, it still wouldn't be California. It could never be California. It's just a re-presentation of California. It's a representation, and for our purposes here, we talk about internal representations. Now, the internal representation that you make of reality, from an NLP perspective, couples with an or combines with an internal state, an emotional feeling. Actually, our thoughts lead our feelings. So you have certain thoughts that lead your feelings. You create a feeling inside your mind and body, which in turn couples is intimately coupled with an external physiology. That is how you move your body. We can actually, in NLP, in order to create change in the results that we're producing, we could start from the part of physiology, or we could start from the state. But the state and the physiology are intimately coupled to end up in this package of your behavior. And your behavior is all you really got to work with in terms of producing different results. Yeah. So when you change the filters, actually your world can change immediately because you're sorting differently. And then your behaviors will also change when you change your physiology and your state. So now you've got your world changing and your behavior changing, which reinforces the changement of the world. And this is how we create change from an NLP perspective. Now we can also, and change is what we're all really interested in. We want to change those aspects of our life that aren't working, whether we want to make more money, have better relationships, whatever it is. Many of you are going into counseling or going into coaching or going into business consulting with this type of stuff. And what we're doing there is we're assisting other people to make change. So for me, NLP is the psychology of achievement, wrapping this back into the definition of NLP, but it's also the psychology of interpersonal communication. Because knowing this, we can actually tailor our communication inside that person's communication styles in such a way that goes right in without conscious resistance and makes us powerful communicators. Yeah. So that's all of NLP contained right there on that slide. Now, I'd like to expand things for you just a little bit, and expand our thinking on a couple of things. How you guys doing so far? Doing okay? All right, good. So, and I think the best way to begin expanding things is actually, before we go into expansion, let's talk a little bit about presuppositions, which are the beliefs behind NLP, and then we'll go into expansion. So give me just 2 seconds. I'll find our slide here. Slide navigator. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about presuppositions of NLP. Let's talk about your favorite presuppositions. What are your favorite presuppositions? What are some of the favorite presuppositions that you have about NLP? Just throw some out, and we'll have a
respect for the other's model of the world.
Respect for the other person's model of the world. Absolutely. Now, this is going to be important in any type of interpersonal communication or any type of interpersonal relation. See, most people are walking around thinking that their model of the world is the only model of the world, and that their model of the world is the one that's right. Now, we know from an NLP perspective, because it is the study of subjective experience, that everybody has their own model of the world, their own experience of reality. So, knowing this, we can actually work within somebody's model of the world to help them to either make a change or to really be effective in our communication. Milton Erickson was really effective at respecting the other person's model of the world. In fact, I may have told some of you the story about. And by the way, there's story after story of Milton Erickson working with clients or working with patients, where he would actually assist them in making a change by working with that. Like one woman, for example, came to Milton for weight loss, and she came in to see him for weight loss, and she said, "I'm here to see you for weight loss. And my issue is that I've got my children. I live with my children. My children, I don't have time to spend with them because I'm wasting all my time eating candies and cookies and things like that. And I'm spending all my time eating. That's what's occupying all my time." And she said, "And I feel bad for my kids." And Milton Erickson said, "Well, you should feel bad for your kids." He says, "You should feel ashamed for your kids." Now remember, rapport, Milton Erickson said anything's possible in the presence of a good rapport. But he also said something very interesting. He said rapport is not necessarily liking someone. He said rapport is, or the client liking him. He said rapport is building trust and responsiveness with the client. So he said, "You should feel ashamed that you're not spending time with your kids." He said, "Just think about it for a second." He said, "How do you think?" He said, "Your kids are never going to get to see the Grand Canyon. They're never going to get to climb Squaw Peak. They're never going to get to visit the botanical gardens." He said, "What kind of mother are you?"